I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey guys, exciting news. I'm really, really stoked about this. On March 7th at noon Pacific Standard Time, Team Sideways is going to host an AMA on the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit on Reddit. Pretty exciting, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So the mods will post an announcement a week prior. So if you can't join us at that time, at that date, you can post your questions there. Please don't email us questions. We'll lose them and forget them.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's try and contain this just to Reddit, but we're super excited. And yeah, so if you can join us. And
March 7th, 2015.
Sorry. In case somebody, 5 years from now is listening to this episode. Not 2017. This is not Treat Yourself 2017. Sorry.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I'm Devin, hosting super well. Joined by my co-hosts,
Joe
and
Steve.
Yeah. Here's one for you.
What?
In 1836, five boys were hunting rabbits in the northeast area of Arthur's Seat, Edinburgh. Pro tip. If you are boys hunting and you find something even remotely weird, just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk away. The number of cases that we cover that start out in this way is mind-boggling to me.
Truly. Kids find something and screw
it's
it
boys,
up.
Specifically young boys. Groups of young boys find something and then think, oh, I know. Let's go investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
Because they're boys. The 10-year-old boy in me completely identifies with the boys in this story.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
You know, if you have the potential to kick off a really cool unsolved mystery, then you should not turn your back on that, as long as it doesn't involve you getting killed.
Fair.
No, it's mostly just playing with stuff.
Yeah.
And throwing stuff.
I just think we should start keeping a counter.
Although these kids were kind of jerks.
Yeah,
but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, so okay, the boys were hunting wabbits.
Wabbits.
Kill the wabbit.
Oh, wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit. And they came across a cave. Zoinks, they said. Better check that out. So they did. Inside, they found 17 small caskets in a pile.
Oh, and by the way, as you mentioned, this wasn't really a cave. It was kind of like a hole inside, in the side of the hillside.
My story is so much better.
I know. A cave is cool.
Cave is cool. No, it was,
and
it was kind
a,
of
they found
like
a torch,
an
old torch, and they lit the torch, and they walked into the cave, but no, it didn't really happen that way.
No.
It didn't happen that way. Yeah. It was kind of an alcove area.
Yeah, there was a piece of slate covering it. Yeah. Some stories say that there were like three pieces of slate covering
it.
Right?
I don't know. There were 17 small caskets in a pile, 8 on the bottom, 8 in the middle, and 1 on top. And upon further investigation, guys, so smart, they found that the caskets contained a small wooden doll in each one, carved to look like a human, clothed in small handmade garments. The dolls were said to be about the size of an adult finger, so 3 or 4 inches long.
The doll, not the cask.
Yeah, the doll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Mm-hmm. Being boys, dumb, stupid boys.
Hey.
I'm gonna watch it.
Instead of running to the police or the adult with this find, they decided, oh, you know what would be awesome? Let's just throw these things at each other.
This is the equivalent of a dirt wad fight. You find something and you throw it at your friend to make them run and scream.
Yeah, I mean,
this is why the 10-year-old boy in me loves this story so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, at that age, I probably would have done the same thing, actually. I would have been a total jerk.
Well,
I
admit, because of this, only 8 of these dolls remain to this day. They were destroyed. Most of them were destroyed.
Little bad boys.
Yeah. And before we go much further, this is the Arthur Seat murder dolls. And it was a listener suggestion about 1 million years ago from Thomas. So
thanks, Thomas.
All right. Ready to keep going?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of creeping me out.
Oh, it's kind of creepy.
Boys throwing caskets at each other creeps you out?
Little tiny caskets.
It gets a little creepier.
Oh, that's true.
A little creepier, maybe. Anyhow, it's not clear how the 8 remaining caskets that did make it made it back to civilization.
In one piece?
In any kind of sense. The boys were never questioned. They never gave any statements. It's unclear if they told their school teacher or he overheard them talking about how much fun it was that they were throwing coffins at each other.
Was it the school teacher or their headmaster?
Oh, maybe their headmaster.
I thought it was the headmaster.
Somebody involved in school.
Okay.
Janitor.
Who happened to also be an amateur archaeologist.
Because that's what you did in those days.
Right. So he heard the boys, or the boys told him, or something. Maybe one of the boys had a black eye, and he was like, well, how'd that happen? And he was like, oh, this dude threw a coffin at me. I didn't know it happened. And he was like, okay, well, tell me more. Either way, somehow the dolls made it back. And again, it's not clear even if it was only the 8 dolls or all of the dolls or what happened, but only 8 of them really survived.
Things have a way of sort of like disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the dolls for a second.
Let's.
More, I guess a little more. We've talked about them a little bit already. There are some reports that there are both male and female dolls, but I don't actually think that's the case.
I would agree with this.
And like I said, only 8 of the dolls survived, but none of them, as far as I can tell, were dressed as women. And let's be fair, if you're going to make tiny little doll clothes, it's way easier to make a skirt than it is to make little trousers, but they all had little trousers on.
At least the ones
that weren't decayed.
Yeah, they weren't really trousers, though, right, with legs, because, I mean, these things didn't have individual legs.
They did.
They had a pair of legs. They weren't just like a stub that had some kind of feature carved into them to give the appearance.
They were two individual legs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And little pants on them.
Little pants on them. The dolls in the bottom coffin seem to have been older and more deteriorated. Some of the garments were rotting away or totally rotted away. You can see in some of the pictures this. The middle tier seemed to have looked more recent. And the top one apparently looked almost brand new. And again, in fairness, it's not clear how this information was relayed.
Yeah, the kids probably upset the site quite a bit when they pillaged it so they could throw stuff at each other.
Yeah.
So,
And these were found in Arthur's Seat, which is in Edinburgh, Scotland. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you do any research on that site by chance?
Pertaining to what?
Well, I pulled a Joe. And I went Google mapping, mm-hmm. and then I started researching it. Did you know that that's actually an old volcano?
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also only about 2 miles away from the ocean.
Yeah.
The North Sea. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not the ocean.
It's a really weird raised chunk of earth in the middle of a town. So it's just, it was really interesting to me. Yeah. And that's why I was just asking.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little spot. It's one of the only fully green spots on Google Maps in Edinburgh.
It is. Because the rest is a town.
Mm. Back to the dolls.
I had dolls.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. There were two different kinds of coffins. One carved more rounded, one a little more square. The different kinds of coffins, however, don't seem to have been exclusive by tier. They were all intermingled.
I saw this in the photos, but mm-hmm. people might not understand this. Mm-hmm. When you say rounded versus square, mm-hmm. the square was really more just a rectangle, mm-hmm. just simple straight pieces of wood.
Yeah.
And the rounded, it only looked like somebody had basically carved off the corners to smooth it out a little bit. So that was the only style difference I saw.
That was my impression too.
Okay. Just
not that some of them were circles and some of them were rectangles.
Which would be weird.
Yeah, that would be super weird. It also seems that the dolls were not actually made for this purpose. Many of the dolls were missing limbs, arms specifically. They all had their legs, I think, so that they would fit inside the coffins. And in fact, it's a bit odd that the coffins weren't made to the size of the dolls.
That's one of the things that sort of made me wonder, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like maybe they were always meant to be together. But the dolls do seem to have been from the same set. They all seem to be almost identical. The theory is that they were a set of soldiers, toy soldiers. There were markings around the feet that looked like they had once been painted, like they were little booties, black booties.
Were they painted or were they blackened? I got the impression that they were blackened almost with soot or a candle or something.
That's a cheaper way to do it. You just grab a chunk of charcoal out of the fire, you know?
Well, yeah, I know, and this is why I'm asking. I never saw anything that said specifically, some said they were black and some said they were blackened.
Yeah,
so
that was my too. So I just said painted, but you're probably right. It probably was something more like charcoal or something like that, which wouldn't last as long, but who cares?
Yeah.
They weren't worried about that.
Early 1800s. The legs were carved in a way that seemed to denote kind of a rigid upward standing pose.
Like standing at attention if you're a toy soldier.
Yeah. And in fact, upon further inspection, it was discovered that they would stand straight on their own if a small amount of weight was added to the front of them, like a musket.
Well, yeah. The arms that were missing would have held a musket.
Or it would have been on a bandolier across their chest or something.
Oh, yeah. Tripod, kind of.
No. Like slung across their chest. Just like hanging there.
Oh, so it wasn't actually going to touch the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got the impression that it was... That you see soldiers, you know, holding their gun mm-hmm. against the ground, so they make a tripod mm-hmm. formation.
No, that wasn't my sense. It was that they would have had something else lashed them.
I will believe you because I'm not positive. Sure. I didn't go as far down in this one.
Yeah, that's probably true. It was, like I said, they were probably toy soldiers and they probably had muskets or something like that. So they would stand upright in that situation. And quickly, I want to address the rotting.
Because the different bottom, tiers. Middle, and then the top.
It was initially suggested that perhaps they were of three different ages.
Mm-hmm.
That the bottom ones had been placed much earlier than the middle ones, and the middle ones placed much earlier than the top one.
Mm-hmm.
Or that perhaps the top tier was in a work in progress or whatever. But I do want to just mention anybody who's ever had like a wood pile may know that things rot from the bottom.
Because that's where the moisture is at.
Mm-hmm. So those would have, even if they'd all been placed at the same time, would have absolutely rotted much quicker and would have looked as though they were much older than the middle and top ones.
Mm-hmm.
Tiers. Yeah. Tears, we'll call them tears.
Yeah, tears is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to have fungus and bugs and just plain water damage in general to that wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. So like I said, there was the original thought that they had been placed at different times. I don't think that's true. I think it was probably at the same time, maybe a short period of time, but definitely no more than 12 years, which I guess is kind of a long period of time.
That is kind of a long period of time.
A bit of time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, if it was me doing this, I would have done it all at once just to save myself a lot of trips up the mountainside.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, but that's inferring that if somebody's putting these in that location for a specific reason, that it's one reason and not a reason that reoccurs over a period of time. Because I know some of the reasons that they would happen, we're going to talk about in the theory section. So that's a big presumption
I'm
going to do it just this way because it's easiest.
No, actually, what I really would have done is pitched them out in the trash. But
yeah, not buried them.
These toy soldiers are broken.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten the hassle of making them little coffins. I would have just like tossed them, but
given them to Goodwill or something.
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, I've got different motivations than whoever put these things there.
And here's where I get to actually nerd out a little bit to help justify my no longer than 12 years thing. I'm really excited about this. I am a bit of a historical fashion buff. As you two know, sitting in this room with me, and
this is where dudes don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
There was a lot of analysis of the textiles and notions. And notions are like thread and buttons and the other miscellaneous things other than just the cloth that you would use to create something, in case you didn't know what those things were. Anyways, there was a lot of analysis happening on that aspect of the dolls, since it's pretty well recognized that they probably were toy soldiers and they came from the same set. It's hard to glean a date from that because they could have been 50, 100 years old by the time they were placed in the coffin. So they thought, well, let's look at the fabric, which I think is great. If you look at the pictures of the dolls, it's fairly clear to say that they're not really clothed for burial. That is to say, they're not in the traditional burial clothes of the time. It's more of a garments kind of representing clothes, everyday wear, or maybe not garments at all, just to cover the dolls.
Yeah, it's basically chunks of cloth that they just put over the top of them, right?
So they're not naked.
Yeah, except that they weren't actually just placed on top of them like a blanket. They were actually sewn into sleeves and pants. In fact, some of the dolls that were missing arms... Also, there are not armholes where an arm would have been. The seam is sewn up over that missing arm. So they were clothed for the purpose of going into those coffins once the coffins were made to size, which is fairly interesting. No, you guys are looking at me like this is boring.
Well, no, I just this fashion stuff and
how
thread count and notions there are, I don't get it.
Yeah. So this is actually the bit, I'll just get to the bit that excites me a lot. The curator of European textiles at the National Museum of Scotland looked at these garments and she noticed that the thread that had been used in some of the garments was 3-ply cotton thread. Okay, 3-ply cotton thread. So you know what plies are because you buy toilet paper.
Yeah.
Right? That 3-ply is there's 3 layers.
Yes.
2-ply is 2 layers and single ply is 1 layer.
Never use single ply.
Right. Why would you ever do that?
To yourself.
It's awful. But the same thing goes for thread. You can make thread with just one strand or you can make it with multiple strands. It's stronger. Better.
So it's 3 strands wound around each other.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
This is significant because the kind of thread, this 3-ply cotton thread, wasn't even remotely available prior to 1812 and didn't become readily available and used until the 1830s. So that can help us give a bit of a timeline for these garments. And it is fair to say that some of the other garments were sewn with 2 or 1-ply thread, so they could have been sewn earlier.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, people don't just pitch stuff out.
Right.
I mean, I've actually got sewing thread that I inherited from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows? She might have inherited
from
her grandmother.
Her mother. Yeah, because if you don't use it all, why throw it out?
Yeah,
you'll
exactly.
You'll use it sometime, maybe.
Yeah, there's a couple of loops there. You hang on to them for a quick stitch job you need.
Yeah, so this allows us to date the dolls as having likely been interred between the mid-1820s to mid-1830s. Likely 1825 to 1835, just for convenience sake. I would say it's a pretty good time frame
based
on cotton thread. So at first, the suspicion was that these dolls were related to witchcraft.
That's what I would have concluded.
Which, I mean, this is kind of late for the witchcraft bandwagon. It's not the 1600s. But,
I think probably at that time, probably still a lot of people were kind of believing in that stuff.
Well, it turns out as recently as 1997, some women in Russia were murdered because they used folk magic on some people. They were burned at the stake.
Oh, yeah.
In 1997.
No, I mean, even in the 21st century, mm-hmm. I mean, there have been rumors of witchcraft started in some countries in Africa. And next thing you know, people are getting killed because of it.
Yeah.
So it's still going on.
Yeah. People thought maybe because they were mixing voodoo and witchcraft up. I'm not totally sure. I'm not up on my witchcraft stuff. I guess I should go back and do some learning. I didn't realize that they used dolls, but I guess the theory was that maybe the dolls were used to symbolically confine victims to their tombs forever.
Well, the dolls could be, they're an effigy,
mm-hmm.
and effigies have a pretty long history, and they've been used for lots of things, traditional burial things, when a sarcophagus is not the right thing, but if you see the old stone carvings of kings that sit on top of their caskets, that's an effigy. But effigies have been used in all scales for all kinds of practices through time. So an effigy can easily be linked to it. I don't think it has to just be a voodoo thing.
Fair. Yeah. And I guess we're in theories now.
Oh, yeah.
So let's just keep talking about theories.
Oh, okay.
Another primary early theory was that these dolls were meant to represent, in effigy a bit, sailors who had been lost at sea, to give them a sort of ceremonial burial. And like we said earlier, Arthur's Seat is just about 2 miles away from the coast of the North Sea. It does overlook the sea. It's pretty.
Hmm.
It's the kind of place you might bury somebody you cared about, even if only in a 4-inch long doll.
That makes sense, but you would think there'd be some sort of memorial marker.
You would think that.
Yeah.
You would also think that there would have been some sort of record of the lost of 17 souls.
I don't think they bothered back in those days.
Okay. I'm going to point out a fallacy in that which is you're presuming that all 17 died at the same time.
Yeah.
We're giving a 10-year range for these things to have been interred,
mm-hmm.
which means that even if it wasn't over that 10-year time span, there could have been time between them being put in there.
That's fair, yeah.
So it could be, I knew Steve and Joe went on this ship, and then that whaling ship sank. So I made effigies so I could bury them at home.
Mm.
And then,
and thanks, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then the next ship that, you know, a couple of guys are on it. So it could have built up that way.
That's
so
fair.
I mean, we've got to be careful of saying they were all interred at the same time with that idea.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I guess I just think there's a cooler theory out there.
I hate this theory.
Why? Do you want to talk about that first or do you want to talk about it after?
Let's wait till after.
Okay.
No, let's talk about your feelings.
Yeah.
Let's not.
No, yeah. You don't want to.
No, I'm not a big talking about my feelings guy.
Podcast therapy session?
No. This is not that podcast.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you guys up on your early 19th century murders in Scotland?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, some listeners maybe as well. So you might know these guys, William Burke and William Hare. Yeah?
Yeah.
Burke and Hare were Irish-born immigrants to Scotland. They are so famous, in fact, that there's apparently a British term called Birking, which is derived from Burke's name. So why are they famous? You may be asking if you don't know, if you're not up like we are on our early 19th century murders in Scotland.
Yeah.
Well, for killing people, of course.
A lot of people.
The killings.
They are the guys behind what's known as the Westport murders, and they killed 16 people in 10 months. But Devin, you're yelling undoubtedly at your iPod in the car and people think you're crazy. There were 17 dolls. Well, kind listener, that's interesting because Burke and Hare were killing folks to sell to a doctor to dissect, and they actually sold 17 bodies. The first one died of natural causes. That was their, like, introductory one.
That was their inspiration. It's like, hey, wow.
They thought, oh, let's sell him.
And then they're waiting for somebody else to die of natural causes, and they thought, well, let's just rush the process a little bit.
Yeah, he expired of natural causes, and they basically realized how much money they could make and said, hey, why don't we just kill some people, their bodies?
What did they get for this? So they sold it to a professor?
A doctor named Dr. Knox.
Who was using him for...
lectures.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So they actually sold the first body for a hefty £7.10, which doesn't sound like much now, but is about the equivalent of $1,226.81.
What's that?
Or about £806 in 2015.
Yeah, I got to tell you that really wouldn't be enough to incentivize me to murder somebody.
Well, in fairness, it's not nothing for just finding a body.
Oh, yeah. Right? But I'm talking about murdering somebody for $1,200.
Well, but wait.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know, Joe. $1,200, I might be tempted.
That's a good point.
Wait,
okay.
It gets better. Dr. Knox offered any bodies that they bring him further, particularly if they were mostly healthy and just died of, like, oh, I don't know, asphyxiation or something.
Yeah, I'd be smothered.
He would pay them £10 a body. And I'll do some quick, I did some quick math, and that meant that they, in 10 months, they would have made a handy $12,496 in today's. But there's actually a better calculation for what it is actually equivalent to with a cost of living, blah, 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 blah. If you want to find out how I got this number, you can email me. I will tell you all about it. I don't want to bore everybody. But it actually is about the equivalent of 211
rounded, yeah.
Dollars in 10 months by selling 17 bodies.
And murdering 16 people.
Murdering 16, well, I don't know, for 211.
Killing's a living.
I know. That's
it wasn't like hard. They just got them drunk and suffocated them. Anyways, the murders were, the murders and the one death were hugely sensationalized, and Hare and Burke were caught and tried. This is super Cliff Notes version of this story because this is not what the story's about. But essentially, the prosecutors were under the impression that Hare and Burke would just say, no, he did it, no, he did it, no, he did it, he did it. And the jury would get confused because people were dumb then, apparently. And they wouldn't convict either one of them.
You know, which I think a jury probably would have convicted both of them.
I agree. But, yeah. I think they probably would have too. But because of this, the prosecutors said, oh, well, actually, you know what? Hare is kind of the dummy of the two. So they offered to allow him to become do what's known as becoming king's evidence, which basically means for immunity.
He rats out Burke. Yeah.
He said, yes, I will do that. And it worked. And in 1829, Burke was convicted and hanged.
Actually, he was convicted Christmas Eve, 1828, and executed a month later. You got to love it because, I mean, that doesn't happen in this country.
No,
it takes 30 years.
At least.
But here's the best part. Is that the judge in his sentencing said, yeah, you're going to be executed, and also the day after you're executed, you're going to be dissected in public. And he was dissected in public.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they then took his skeleton, and that is still in the Royal College.
I think at least his skull is. I'm not sure if his entire skeleton is.
Yeah, I know.
No, it goes a step further than that.
Oh.
They actually sold his skin as, like, pocket purses.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And, yeah. They used it as leather goods, basically, and sold it.
There was, I can't remember. It was like a card purse or something like that, a little small purse that was made from the skin of his hand. And that sold as recently as, I don't remember, like 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was that's the grossest
part. Lots of
money,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't want to own anything that's made out of somebody's skin.
Especially not a murderer.
No.
Who knows what kind of bad juju that thing's carrying.
Oh, well, yeah.
Anyways, you can look up the story. You should definitely look up the
Burke
story.
Oh, Burke and Hare is a horrifying story.
Horrifying and super fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Great story. Now, can we get to why I don't like the story?
No.
Yeah, why?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Do you have more on it?
I do.
Let's have
that. I
have
lots more. So it's theorized that there were 17 victims, kind of. So it could have been similar to the burial for the sailors, kind of in an effigy. What's referred to as a mimic burial is, I think, probably the term you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's because since the bodies were dissected for science reasons, They
never got a burial, did they?
They never got a burial, so it was supposed to represent them so that their souls could be laid to rest. There is the huge problem, one huge problem
What's
at
that?
Least, and that is that of the 17 victims of Burke and Hare, 12 were women.
And all of the effigies
dolls.
Look male or don't have any feminine features.
Well, not
features.
Only do they look male, that's fine. That's
even
not
in their
problem.
Clothes, there's no feminine
there's
features.
There's no feminine features at all. So that's pretty big. Additionally, There's the problem of who would have created the dolls. And that comes into play here because Burke and Hare, there was a thought that one of them did it because they felt bad. But Burke and Hare were apprehended directly after their 17th murder.
Well, and also they were sociopaths, so they probably didn't feel bad.
Well,
I don't know if they're sociopaths, but they don't strike me as the kind of guys who would go to any huge hassle.
I think Hare seems like, well, he lived out the rest of his life in misery. Again, you should read the story.
He was not a popular guy.
And people recognized him everywhere he went. Anyways, some people have suggested that there was an accomplice, because there were lots of accomplices, perhaps, that weren't ever actually convicted of anything in regards to the Burke and Hare story. But it seems like those people would want to keep a low profile. And maybe carting 17 coffins, no matter how small, into the wilderness would be kind of a high-profile thing.
Well, but they're 4 or 5-inch coffins. You can fit those into a bag very easily.
Yeah, but even
it's not going to be blatantly obvious. You're carrying a bag of stuff.
I think that they would have not done anything even wrong. Well, anything even kind of suspicious.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But, you know, it's also possible, and I don't think, I'll just say this, I don't think that the dolls are connected to the murder in any way.
Nor do I, yeah.
But it is conceivable that maybe somebody, having heard about these 17 people who haven't been died and sent off to be dissected and then basically tossed into the dumpster, maybe somebody got the idea to create these effigies and bury them.
Well, I guess it's also probably worth noting that the theory that the dolls were connected to the Burke Hare murders, the Westport murders, wasn't even posited until the 1990s. That connection
that's
wasn't
an
even
issue.
Made until the 1990s, and somebody looked back and thought, "Oh, there's 17 victims."
Yeah, that's. But that's.
And I know that's
the only thing they have in common is a number.
Yeah, I think that's. You know, I know Steve has a bunch of stuff to talk about this, but I think that's one of the big ones, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, it's so romantic to assign these dolls to this case.
What
it's such
weird
a great romantic
word
notion.
To choose.
It's a romantic notion.
Yeah.
We found this connection between the two, and so somebody had remorse.
Fair.
That's to me why people go to it.
Mm.
Okay, well, to maybe direct who might have been, and I'm not on the stand of saying that is connected to these murders. But I know that the wives and children and the woman who owned the boarding house that they were in, they all got out relatively unscathed, but they all had to leave town.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to leave town immediately. So if we're going to say this is correct, there is a possibility that they had some bit of remorse or guilt or felt like they needed to do some kind of penance for it.
Sure.
So that's why they would have gone ahead and done this.
Mm.
Okay, that's the easy answer. I did a bunch of digging into the time frame and looking at, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is that the use of effigies was something that had been going on in Europe for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And because we talked about it with the sailors thing.
Yeah.
But you know, something else that was going on at the time and very close to when the dolls were found, cholera, typhus, and influenza were rampant in the area. I mean, if you look at the newsprints of the time, all kinds of alerts about this, and it's killing people like mad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if your family member dies of cholera at the hospital,
they're not giving you that body.
No, you're not going to get the body back. So what do? You say, Aunt Janie died. Uncle Janie, maybe, but Aunt Janie, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Janie died,
and
we can't do anything. So I'm going to do this little ceremonial thing here.
Yeah.
And then, oops, well, now Uncle Bob just got typhoid or died of typhoid and then somebody else of influenza, all these deaths, and it may have just been pure happenstance. So the reason that that's why I think they're there is either it's the sailors or somebody who knew, as everybody did, a bunch of people who died from some ailment that was just running like wildfire through the population.
That's fair. I didn't consider that.
No, that's very, very true. Another possibility, even though I don't think they would have gone to the bother, is that maybe either Hare or Burke built up a little collection of these little dolls. And it wasn't because they felt remorse, but because, you know, they had time in their hands and everything like that.
It's an accounting system, basically?
It's kind of like, you know, every time you shoot down an enemy fighter, you put a little Japanese zero on the side of the nose of your plane.
Oh, yeah. You know World War II fighters did that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So every time you do it, you grab one of these dolls and make a little coffin for it and put it in the coffin. And then perhaps one of their wives or, you know, supposed alleged accomplices realized that, holy crap, this is kind of incriminating, and got rid of it. Although I think that probably more likely, to shoot a hole in my own theory, they just would have burned them. You know, that's
a much simpler scenario.
I just popped into my head, so I thought I'd throw it out there just to fill up a little airtime.
Yeah, I guess in fairness, to poke another hole in that, like I said, Burke and Hare were apprehended within, I think, an hour or two of their last murder.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have had time to complete the 17th doll.
Well, actually, though, maybe they completed the dolls before the murders.
I don't think they were that pre-planned.
No, actually, I doubt that they
seem to be crimes of opportunity.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you can say, well, the wife or the mistress could have done it, but then again, why was she doing it, and at what point, why wouldn't she have just chucked him in the fire rather than hiking up the hill and then putting them into a hole?
Exactly.
I think that simpler answer of somebody did it for something other than the Burke Hare murders is...
I agree.
Oh, yeah,
I don't have any good theories about what else.
Which is why I went through all the historical documentation to try to find some explanation that was a little more rooted in fact.
That's fair. I guess the only thing is that 17 people is a lot of people, but...
Well, I mean,
but your sphere of influence and close relations...
Well,
it's still going to be relatively small.
It could be, you know, if there was a big, like, say, cholera epidemic or something like that, then, and people had a lot of kids back then, many of whom died young. So it could be family members, got a brother and a sister and an aunt and an uncle, maybe one of your parents, and then maybe a whole bunch of other people that you know, like schoolmates or whatever. And so maybe that was it.
There's a host of reasons, and I think it's not going to do us any benefit to beat them into the ground. But
not really.
No pun intended, but whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
there is.
True.
There really is no mystery here, I think. But I do want to say that it is interesting, though. There was a lot of opprobrium directed at a lot of people, like especially Hare, of course, and Dr. Knox, who dissected all these bodies. And it's like, oh, people keep bringing these dead bodies, and you pay them for them. You pay these guys for these bodies, and you never say, where are you getting all these bodies from? And he just dissected them. And so he had mobs showing up outside his house and throwing rocks through his windows.
All of the family, the mistress, the wife and children, they all had to get out of town.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That was a bad scene.
But the dolls...
Oh, yeah, back to the dolls. Okay,
I know,
sorry.
I'm sorry. I did a dangerous thing where I brought up a really interesting case that wasn't unsolved.
I think that
it's super interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is solved. But
I think it's solved, but I'm sorry,
I meant isn't unsolved.
But there's a bunch of points. No. We're
sorry.
Back on topic, Devin. Where are we going now?
We're going nowhere.
Yeah.
What?
We're there. Sorry, guys. That's it.
Well, really?
Oh, that's all we've got.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's all the theories. And Steve came up with a pretty good one, I guess.
Yeah, I think the lesson is that if you've lost a lot of loved ones and you want to make little effigies in their honor, do a better job of hiding them so that some little jerk kids won't come and throw them at each other.
Hello? Throw them at each other. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's it. I guess I like Steve's theory the best.
No, that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, one. Although it doesn't explain why they were all dressed like little dudes.
Because they were little soldiers. They're little dudes to start with.
But you can put them in little skirts and stuff if it's Aunt Jeannie.
If you're imaginative, you can. If you're not, you just dress what you have.
I guess that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Pants are really hard to make, though. Just like,
yeah, I would say a skirt would be easier.
Way easier. I'm just saying.
I understand.
Just saying, especially at that size.
I work with a bunch of non-creatives. Trust me. I've seen things where I'm... What? Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Do you guys have favorite theories? I know yours is probably
yeah,
your theory.
I said mine.
I'm still going to go with the Chupacabra.
Oh, my God. Every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I know. No, I had no favorite theories in this one.
I have no opinion whatsoever on this.
Yeah, I know. I don't really.
I don't care about this story at all.
Yeah.
Well, sorry it's a little short this
week. But yeah, I guess I do have one opinion, which is that the typical name that is given to this mystery is the Arthur C. Murder Dolls.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a really cool name.
It is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, the mystery isn't so cool, but the name is
well,
really
again,
awesome.
That's the tie to the Burke and Hare.
Oh, yeah.
Situation.
Yeah, murder dolls. There's just something so cool and creepy about that.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, there's really no tie in other than the number 17.
I agree.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out how I came up with that weird giant number.
I do.
We'll talk about it afterwards. Or you have a theory about what the Arthur C. murder dolls might be, or just the Arthur C. dolls or whatever. You can email us, thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. You are probably not listening to us on the website, but you can listen to us on the website. That website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. There are some of my research links up there as well. And on that as well, you can find the link to buy merch if you want. We got it. You guys were asking for it, so we did it because we love you.
Finally.
Finally.
We have phasers, and what else do we have?
Yeah. We have
rocket launchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple airplanes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind they are. You guys know that?
Joe Not does.
Yeah. Joe knows.
They're expensive, but if you want something a little cheaper, we also have T-shirts and mugs.
Mm-hmm. And phone cases.
Oh, yeah, and phone cases. Yeah.
Which I am buying one of. That's right. I have to buy my own merch. Doesn't come for free.
Nope. I don't give that away.
Find us, or you could be streaming us also almost anywhere. You are probably listening to us on iTunes, though. If you do that, subscribe if you haven't already and leave us a comment and a rating. Those are awesome. It's how other people find us, and I know you want other people to find us. You can find us on Facebook. We have a group and a page.
Which has been uber busy.
Yep. Like us, friend us. Friend us, find us.
No, find us, friend us.
Find us, friend us, like us.
And then tweet us.
Please like us. Please.
And then tweet us. Thinking sideways. No podcast or anything like that. That's okay. We tweet sometimes.
Occasionally we use that Twitter thing.
Every once in a while. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Usually we do the email at the end. That's why I'm confused about if I actually told you everything or not. Sorry, I messed that one up.
They know where to find us.
Hey, you guys know where to find us. You're doing good at finding us. So that is everything about dolls.
Yeah, creepy dolls.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I never liked the movie Chucky, because dolls are creepy.
Yeah, I didn't ever see that.
Yeah, they are now.
You should go watch it.
No,
I didn't watch that movie.
But do go watch Burke and Hare. Mm-mm. It's fun. Mm-mm. It's a fun movie. It's Simon Pegg. It's totally fun.
I gotta say, if you can make a comedy out of murder, that's awesome.
Oh, it's totally funny and weird because it's Simon Pegg.
Yeah, okay, I gotta see it. Yeah, and by the way, speaking of Simon Pegg, if you have not seen Shaun of the Dead, well, you better go see it.
Any of the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
Really.
All right. Bye.
You know, what's funny is if anybody knows this story, every time I read about Burke and Hare, I have a really hard time not visualizing Simon Pegg.
Oh, that's fair.
Because there's that movie, this is 5 years old. 5 years ago, they made a Burke and Hare and he was in it. And every time I read this, I see his face. Mm. I cannot help it.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I did not see that movie. They actually made a movie about Burke and Hare.
Oh, it's a bit of a comedy.
How do you make a comedy out of this story?
So
it's Hollywood.
Really?
And it's Simon Pegg.
Yeah.